Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We're going to start out with some announcements, and I know there are multiple people that have things they want to say. So, Ardith, do you want to start?
I can get loud from here.
There you go. Kathy?
Oh, get in line. Okay, all right, good morning. I just wanted to bring your attention to the meeting next Sunday. The church council has called a special congregational meeting for Sunday, December 3rd at 10 o'clock following worship in the sanctuary here. And the purpose of the meeting is to act upon a recommendation from the Congregation Council to extend a letter of call to Reverend Randy Scow Anderson to be pastor of Christ Lutheran Church. During the meeting, the call committee members will be sharing some of their thoughts and opinions in regard to Pastor Randy and how his gifts of ministry would encourage and enhance this congregation's ministry. And there will also be a time to answer any questions you may have. We ask you to please hold our congregation in prayer so that the Holy Spirit may guide our discussions and our decisions in this process of selecting a pastor. And pray also for Pastor Randy, that he too may be guided by the Holy Spirit as he discerns whether God is calling him to be our pastor. This is really an exciting and important time for our congregation, so please plan on attending this meeting next Sunday. Hope to see you there. Thank you.
It's been in the bulletin the last few weeks that we're looking for another money counter. I just want to emphasize that I do need at least one more person. Two would be nice. It's not a big commitment of time. It takes about 2 hours to count money every week for the month that you're assigned. You do it for a month at a time. It'd be, I believe, for February and July. Like I said, it'd be those Mondays, 2 hours, and we do training, so please consider doing that. I do have one person that stepped forward, and we're going to start training with her soon, so thank you.
Everybody's looking for help. Larry Kester and I are in charge of ushers, and we're struggling a bit with that. So if you, any combination works. Husband, wife, brother, sister, friends, anybody. So give us a... And one thing that keeps people from thinking about ushering is this communion rail. It's a hard thing to get in, so we're going to not use it anymore. So if that's holding you up, don't worry about that anymore. So we'll have to also keep in mind when we do communion that you don't kneel in the open space, just around the rail. Thank you.
Josie, did you have anything?
Just read. We're good.
Okay. There was one other item. The time for decorating the church for Christmas has been changed. It's going to be Wednesday, the 29th, beginning at 5:30. And so just note the change on that. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering song this morning is Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 855.
Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well. Amen. Let us come before God, seeking forgiveness and life. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us share the peace of Christ that we have found, that we have through his forgiveness with one another. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right, and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for our readings.
Our first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 95 responsively with me. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and the hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel acclamation. According to Matthew chapter 25.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Job, guys. Very nice. All right, scoot over a little bit. Are there any other kids that want to come up? No? Okay. All right, have a seat. Have a seat, have a seat. So, we had a lot of lessons today. I mean, a lot, like every single one talked about sheep and goats and sorting, putting things in different piles. So I brought up two baskets. We're going to start with this one. I've got kind of this really beautiful one. They're kind of similar, but this one has different colors, right? It's done differently. It's not coming apart. It looks pretty good. So that's going to be one basket. And then this second basket is a little more plain. It's got some stains on it. It's dirty. It's kind of falling apart a little bit, right? Yeah, you know, that's the way it goes. So we've got our two baskets. And Ryan, would you hold that one for me? Thank you. So I also have in my hand a whole bunch of paper clips because I couldn't find enough goats and sheep to sort this morning. So I brought some paper clips. But what I do have, though, tell me, what does that paper clip look like? It's blue and white stripes and polka dots. This one is green. This one's red. Ooh, this one? It's a Packer paper clip. But now how about this one? How about that one? It's just a plain paper clip. So what do you think? If I had these two paper, well, let's use that Packer paper clip. And if you had to sort these out, where would you put them? Ah, there we go. So we're going to sort out the paper clips. And these colorful ones seem to be doing more for us, don't they? Like, they're making us happy, and they're helping us out. There we go. So we've sorted them out. How about that? Pretty cool? Okay, so then I also brought up one of the candy jars. And it's got a mix in it. Now, I'll pull out two. There are Hershey Kisses, which are what? Chocolate. Just chocolate, right? And then there are Rolos.
With caramel and chocolate.
And, oh, my heavens, right? I mean, it's not just chocolate. We are loaded with caramel in there. So, which basket would you put these two in?
The caramel's
that one. Caramels are a little bit, they're making us a little happier, right? A little happier? Doing a little bit more for us than the plain chocolate. So we could sort those out all we wanted. We could put all the Rolos over here and all the regular chocolate over here. And we're sorting and we're sorting and we're sorting. Well, what does that have to do with anything we just talked about in church today? I mean, what the heck?
Because there's two people separated because one
of them, like, can we eat here?
Jesus says in the gospel, you nailed it, Katie. Good job. Jesus is telling us in the gospel, I'm giving you one job. When I leave, right, because he was still here on earth and he was giving all of the people he was talking to a job. And he said, I'm giving you one job, to go out and do for other people what they need, right? If they need clothing, if they cannot go and buy themselves a shirt, what should you do?
Give them a shirt.
Give them a shirt. If they cannot go and get themselves food, what should you do?
Give them food.
Give them food. And now, at the end of time, when Jesus comes back to us, he's going to say, I'm going to sort you. Just like this. Who do you think is going to go in the fancy basket? All the people who did what he asked, who helped other people, right? Who's going to go in this shabby basket with stains and is breaking? The people who didn't help. Yeah.
And which said no.
That's right. They made a choice, and that's just it. Jesus gives us a choice. But he really wants us to be sorted in with the people who did what he asked, right? Excellent job. So, on that note, and because we have a candy jar, why not? How about everybody come take one piece of candy on your way back to your seats? Thank you.
Thank you, Josie. And thanks to the kids. Great musical number today. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It marks the final Sunday of the church year. Our gospel tells the story of final judgment, and it contains the final parable in Jesus' final sermon. It identifies the faithful as those who serve Christ by ministering to those who are poor, hungry, naked, sick, or estranged. Jesus, at various times during his life, needed all of these mercies. Since it was the last of the parables in Matthew's gospel, we may infer that he considered it to be the most important. We gather this day to celebrate the reign of Christ and his victory over death. There's a great contrast between Jesus' first coming and his second. In his first coming, Jesus entered the world as a servant. He was conceived by an unmarried virgin, born in a stable, and cradled in a manger. The purpose behind these humble beginnings in the Gospel of John was so that he could dwell among us, full of grace and truth, and draw us to himself. In his second coming, no purpose would be served by arriving under humble circumstances. Jesus will come in all his glory with all his angels, sitting on a throne, and with all nations assembled before him. He will be called King. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and after John the Baptist's arrest, he leaves Nazareth and moves to Galilee. In addition to the many Jews there, there was also home to many Gentiles. Jesus then calls his first disciples and goes throughout Galilee proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He heals every kind of illness and has great crowds following him. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, also known as the Beatitudes, he taught his disciples just who would be blessed in light of God's coming rule. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word blessed is sometimes interpreted as happy, but both words imply a blessing from God. In his second coming, the king uses his authority to separate people. To illustrate the separation of one individual from another, Jesus likens himself to a shepherd who isolates the goats from the sheep and those that are grazing in the same pasture. The shepherd's job was to isolate the goats to keep them warm at night and leave the sheep out in the open air, which they preferred. Sheep cost more than goats, and because of their great utility, were almost always more numerous on the farm. Do you remember the rich young man who came to Jesus asking, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus responds that he must sell everything he has, give it to the poor, and then follow him. Like him, we're curious if we'll end up on the right or the left-hand side of the Lord. But this young man's question is simply an excuse for doing nothing. In today's parable, the same question reappears in a different form when it comes from the left. "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" That question seeks to put the blame on Jesus himself, as if to say, "You didn't reveal yourself. How could we see you?" But the same question was asked twice in the parable, once on the left and once on the right. Each has a different meaning. For those on the right, the question stems from what might be called a holy ignorance. These are people that entered the joy of their master without even knowing it. The joy they knew was not complete. It was mixed with suffering, danger, risk, tribulations, and many disappointments. But it was still joy. They acted out of mercy. They went the way of the cross and found themselves at the right hand of the Son of Man. Conversely, those on the left did not know joy or mercy. They used their own judgment to decide as to whom they should serve. They refused to hear the cries of those in need. They didn't live in the spirit of the Beatitudes. At the heart of Matthew's gospel is a call for discipleship. It's a call to obedience that is not law, but joyful living, in mercy and without calculation. The parable of judgment is far more focused on a life of mercy that has or hasn't been lived by those who call out, "Lord, Lord." The term "good works" has less to do with ethical questions than it has to do with living a life of mercy. We do not hold the key to the mystery of God. Imagine a series of concentric circles. The outer circle includes the poor and needy of the world. The middle circle includes needy Christians in general and persecuted Christians in particular. The inner circle includes Christians directly involved in proclaiming the gospel and dependent upon the support of those they serve. Perhaps we could place Jesus at the very center of our circles as a pivot point around which the other circles are drawn. But God is always outside the circles we draw and the boundaries we create. Mission is redefined when we consider the move outwards as a move toward God. Could it be that the judgment we are subject to is not from on high, but a judgment that is spoken through the need of our neighbors? We work hard to meet our own needs and the needs of those who are dependent on us. We also work in order to have something to give to those in need. We join with others to find ways to come alongside those who lack the basic necessities of life, those that we take for granted. If Jesus' words in this passage are to be taken seriously, more may hang on our charity than we realize. Jesus died for those in need. If God so loved the world that he would lay down the life of his Son Jesus for it, then how much deeper is his compassion for the poverty of this world? We cannot imagine the answer to that question. The poverty is a reflection of a broken, sinful world. We are reminded of this truth when we pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those who have experienced God's kingdom cannot go back to life the way it once was. The difference between followers of Jesus and those who do not know Jesus is that those who have seen Jesus no longer have any excuse to avoid those people known as the least of these. Matthew's emphasis on obedience can be forbidding, but Matthew's Jesus doesn't instruct the disciples to become salt of the earth or the light of the world. He tells them that they already are. In the same way, he doesn't command his followers to hunger and thirst for justice and pursue peace. He blesses those who do. Matthew's Jesus reminds would-be disciples that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Love of enemies is central to the teaching of Jesus as narrated in this parable. In it, we see a vision of how the Son of Man, the King, the Shepherd, will respond to the nations. Judgment means that things will be set right. It also gives his community of faith a preview of what is to come, and in the process, how to view the nations or others in a different light. God will remember their persecution. He will also remember their acts of kindness, mercy, and love to those they may think of as enemies. The blessed ones are those who have seen a king that is not like the kings of this world. They are blessed because they know a king who brings real peace, who sees the needy, and who hears the cries of the oppressed. In God's kingdom, no one is hungry, naked, sick, or alone. To bear witness to Christ as king is to be a messenger of this kingdom, to serve others and thereby profess the vision of God's glorious empire. Jesus didn't invent the idea of service to the needy. Torah law required landowners to leave the edges of their fields unharvested so that widows and orphans could go in and glean, and by doing that, obtain their food. It required employers to pay workers daily because workers depended on daily wages for daily bread. It says, "You shall not take advantage of any widow or fatherless child." Amos denounced those who oppress the poor or crush the needy. Isaiah said that to please God, fasting needs to include distributing bread to the hungry, bringing the poor home for dinner, and clothing the naked. Jesus said to those on his right hand, "For I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." This is not meant to be an exhaustive list of people in need of mercy. There are many other ways to help people in need. A kind word or a listening ear can help a person in despair. How about assisting a stranded motorist with a flat tire? The very nature of the six mercies listed provides every person with the ability to provide them. One need not be wealthy to buy a hamburger and a soft drink for a hungry person. One need not be a nurse to help a sick person. One need not be ordained to visit a prisoner in jail. The mercies don't require great sacrifice on the part of the mercy giver, but they alleviate pain for the mercy receiver. In this text and elsewhere, Christ tells us that the rules by which the kingdom of God is governed are very different than those to which we're accustomed. He tells us that people who decide to live by the kingdom's rules will benefit mightily from that choice. Our God is a God of mercy, and he wants us to emulate him by displaying mercy to those in need. Amen. Our hymn of the day is number 634, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us praise God with our offering. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen.
Welcoming God's reign of righteousness and mercy, let us pray with people of every time and place. Almighty God, your merciful rule encompasses all the world. As we gather for worship and safety, we pray for places where the church is persecuted. Watch over your people as they witness to your good news. Lord, in your mercy, give bountiful pastures, safety, and health to herds, livestock, and all animals. May our care for all of your creation reflect your shepherding love for all that you have made, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for international organizations that shine your light in places of strife. Lead relief and aid workers, leaders and volunteers to seek the lost and provide safety. Lord, in your mercy, bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, abused, or ill, especially Maxine, Kathy, Phyllis, Lexan, Gordon and Carolyn, Julie, Lavera, Maxine, Ray, Sandy, Frank, Jerrane, Eileen, Sean, Lavone, and Sam. Please bless our companion Balaka Parish in Malawi and Pastor Francis, all those who serve in military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes. Give wisdom to counselors, doctors, nurses, and all in professions that provide healing. Lord, in your mercy. Shepherd your churches to welcome the stranger and immigrant in our midst. Call all your people to welcome, clothe, feed, and visit those in need, just as you have provided for the lost and despairing throughout the ages. Lord, in your mercy. Give us the hope to which you call us, our glorious inheritance with all your saints. Enrich our lives with the faith and vision of those saints who have died. Lord, in your mercy. Receive these prayers and the hopes and concerns of our hearts. O God, as we entrust into your loving care all for whom we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our sending song is number 434, Jesus Shall Reign.
peace. Christ is with you.